I'm Denise.
She's a non-fiction editor.
And I'm Louise.
She's a fiction editor. And together,
we're the Editing Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Editing Podcast. Today, we're talking about something that every editor and proofreader encounters at some point. Scope creep and client boundaries being tested.
Yes. It's that slippery moment when the project just starts growing arms and legs and you find yourself doing way more than you agreed to without any extra pay.
Exactly. So in this episode, we'll look at what scope creep looks like, why it happens, and how to manage it kindly but firmly.
Great. So let's start with the basics, Harmby. What do we mean by scope creep?
So it's when the scope of the job, what you originally agreed to, starts expanding after you've started. Those arms and legs you mentioned.
So maybe your client has asked you to just check a few extra chapters, or could you quickly look at the references too? Quickly.
Mm-hmm. Or suddenly you're expected to format, rewrite, or coach them through structure when you were hired to proofread. That's quite an extreme example, but you know.
But Stranger Things and all that, you know. So none of these quests are bad in themselves, but if they weren't in the original agreement, they completely change the nature or the size of the job.
And that means you absolutely need to revisit the fee or schedule or both. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're doing extra work for free. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let's chat about why scope creep happens in the first place, because I don't think it's not intentional as such.
No, I think it actually often starts with very good intentions. So, for example, a client might not understand the difference between proofreading, copy editing and substantive editing.
Yeah, or they do, but they genuinely think that the extra work they're asking you to do is small.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
Just one more chapter can sound harmless to them because they've no real understanding of what's involved and what they're asking of you.
Yeah. And sometimes it's also on us. We want to be helpful or we feel awkward about saying no.
Yeah, well, you know. Exactly. And I think that is a biggie. Yeah. Because freelance editors, we often want to please and that's great. But if you don't set clear limits, then you can end up overwhelmed and underpaid.
And it's really important to recognise that, isn't it? Because setting boundaries isn't about being difficult. It's about protecting yourself, your time, your professionalism, your emotional well-being.
Yeah. So now that we've got that clear, let's move away from what it is and on to how to prevent it, because prevention has to be better than cure, right?
Always. So step one, make sure you and the client have agreed to a clear brief and contract. Spell out exactly what's included and what isn't.
Yeah. So you might say, this quote covers a proofread of the final manuscript up to 80,000 words with one round of edits.
And that way, if the client sends a new draft or adds 10,000 words, you can refer back to your agreement.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can also include more details, maybe about formatting, what you're going to do about references and queries. And those are common grey areas. And so by making sure that they're mentioned as part of the package initially, there won't be any misunderstandings.
Yeah. And it can be quite handy to have to make sure that your services pages are up to date. That way you're spelling out what you mean by proofreading or substantive editing or whatever. And it's smart to mention how you'll handle extra work too. So you might say something like any additional material or requests will be quoted for separately.
Yeah, exactly. And that way you're setting expectations right from the start and it saves awkward conversations later. And I think it also just adds a layer of professionalism to your communications as well, that, you know, you're showing, you're demonstrating that you're approaching every aspect of your work with the client professionally.
Like you would expect in any other business. So that's all well and good, but sometimes though, even with a solid contract, scope creep sneaks in, and being able to spot it early is a really good habit to get into.
Yeah. So we're talking about that friendly email that says, would you just mind just giving this a quick look too?
And that right there is the moment to pause. Before you say yes, check whether the request fits within the agreed scope.
Yeah. And if it doesn't, well, then that's your cue to respond professionally. So you might say, yes, you'd be happy to take a look, but it would be an additional X number of hours and X number of pounds or dollars or euros or whatever.
Yeah, perfect. It's polite, clear, and it keeps things fair for both sides.
Yeah, and I think most clients appreciate that transparency, especially up front. They'd rather know the costs than assume and then get a surprise later.
Yeah, especially if it turns out into something like a you know, dispute or something. I completely agree with that. So setting and communicating boundaries is the key here, and they start before the project even begins, don't they?
They do, yeah. And I do think it's worth us reminding ourselves that boundaries aren't just about what you'll do, they're also about when and how.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So with that in mind, we need to be clear about communication times. For example, you might have something in your contract or T's and C's that says something, I respond to client messages Monday to Friday between 9 and 5.
Yeah, otherwise you risk being pulled into those midnight panic messages. Yeah.
Or interruptions to lounging around on your sofa at weekends watching the Winter Olympics.
I know. Just loving the curling.
Yeah. But of course you are. I've been doing the ski jumping. But anyway, not doing the ski jumping. I have not been doing ski jumping, just to be clear. I mean doing watching the ski jumping. But I also think it's worth clarifying turnaround times, revision limits, and your availability once the job's done.
Now, that's a really good one. I've seen editors get pulled back into a project weeks later for just one more thing.
Yeah. And it's fine to help, but perhaps it needs to be a new booking, not a free favour.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? Okay, so what if a client asks for something that's definitely outside the scope and you just don't have time to take it on? How do you say no, but nicely?
So you could try something like, thanks for asking, that's outside the scope of our current agreement, and unfortunately I don't have the capacity to take it on right now.
Oh, that's lovely.
Something like that.
It's polite, it's clear, and you know, you're still keeping the door open for future work. Yeah. Or you're open to it, but you need to adjust the terms. You could say, I'd be happy to include that. Here's a revised quote and timeline.
And that way you're saying yes, but with boundaries. It reframes the conversation and shows you're running your business professionally, which is exactly what you said a few minutes ago.
Yeah. So, of course, it might be that you just want to close the door completely. And I think we both agree that skirting around the issue in a way that doesn't close that door is not a good idea because it's not being transparent.
Yeah, definitely. Trying ruses like quoting a really high price or saying you're fully booked for months runs the risk of the client deciding they'll pay your price or wait. And if you don't want to continue the relationship, it's best to be clear that you won't be working together again.
And I've seen on many occasions editors making that mistake. Mm. They quote a price that they think will scare the person away and they don't want to work with them. And the client says, fine. And then they're stuck.
Yeah.
You got nowhere to go when that happens. Yeah. So one way you can frame this is by taking the lead and putting the onus on yourself. So you can just say that you don't feel you're the right fit and you're stepping aside.
And then you can point them in the direction of places to find other editors if that's something they'd find helpful.
Yeah. Now, sometimes scope creep signals something bigger, like your packages or prices might need tweaking.
Yeah, that's a good point. So if you find that clients are regularly asking for the same extras, maybe your service description needs refining.
Yeah, or maybe you're underpricing for the level and depth that you actually deliver.
Yeah, and in that case, use those experiences as feedback. They can help you strengthen your offers and contracts and your confidence to change your prices and tweak your service packages or whatever.
Definitely, yeah. So the other thing I think that we should talk about is the emotional side of this too, because we know that setting boundaries can feel uncomfortable for some, or I might even say many, editorial people, especially at first.
Oh, they really can. Especially if you're a people pleaser or worried about losing clients, it can really put the pressure on. And I don't think there's any shame in saying that I think a lot of people in our community, ourselves included, we are people pleasers. You know, we work in the service industry, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. And setting boundaries can feel a bit scary initially, can't it? Yeah. But I think the key thing to remember is that professional boundaries are they're just that, they're professional, and they build respect.
Yeah, and the right clients will appreciate your clarity and structure. Boundaries don't push good clients away, they attract them.
Yeah, and they protect your time and energy, which means you can serve all your clients better. And honestly, if somebody's pushing back against those boundaries, That's a red flag for you anyway, isn't it?
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
They're actually showing themselves the door when they do that, aren't they?
Okay, let's wrap up with a few quick tips for managing scope creep and client boundaries. So,
number one, get everything in writing. Always have a detailed quote or contract.
Yep. Number two, define what's included and what isn't.
That's just as important, isn't it? Mm. Yeah. Number three, state how you'll handle any extras, for instance, whether you'll quote separately for additional work.
Number four, watch for red flags, extra chapters, new drafts, so-called quick looks. Those are your early indicators.
Yeah. Number five, respond politely but clearly when your boundaries are tested.
And finally, number six, remember that saying no protects your business, not just your time.
Precisely. To sum up, scope creep isn't evil, but it does need managing.
Boundaries are your best friend here. They keep your projects on track and your client relationships healthy.
And they help you run your editing business with confidence and clarity and less stress.
Exactly. So next time you get that just one more thing email, pause, breathe, and check your scope.
Yeah. We really hope this episode has given you some tips on how to manage scope creep.
Now, if you're one of our Tier 2 Patreon supporters, you can listen to a bonus episode. And there we're going to chat about how we manage boundaries on our own businesses.
Yeah, so thank you so much for supporting us by listening. Until next time, she's been Louise.
And she's been Denise. Join us again soon.
Bye.